Just to start, because I know it's we have a short day today, as far as the different shiurim go. I want to start with an important point. The mitzvah of tefillin is obviously a very, very serious mitzvah. I was talking to someone today about the goal of this Yom Yud. It's not so you guys put tefillin on. We assume that you do already. It's that, what in the world are we doing? Meaning, what is the tefillin all about? How are we supposed to understand exactly the different minhagim that we have? It is clearly a significant mitzvah. So significant, I'll just fast forward for a quick second to quote for you just one quick source, and I'll get back to it later on. The back side of the page, it says, right, Mara Shashar brings down, it says, Poshe Yisrael Begufan, it's in source number Hey. Who's considered a real violator with their body? Who's a violator of halacha? There's a lot of options out there. We probably can list a number ourselves of what we consider violation with your body. And the answer is, Amarav Karkaftadol Manach Tfilim. It's the skull that has not had tefillin placed upon it. You could have had many things that are considered a real violation of a person's body regarding life. It's not limited to tefillin, it's life. And the selected avera that a man is called a person who does not observe a halacha properly or is a poshea begufan is someone who does not put tefillin on. Now, how in the world did tefillin become the mitzvah of mitzvahs? So I want to talk to you about how tefillin came to be and a few points in that regard. Anyone who needs, there's a few sheets floating around. Maybe we'll share the same table if we don't have to go around. Okay. First of all, number one, just an interesting halacha to make, is that tefillin is a type of a mitzvah that there's so little written about in the Torah. I don't know how we describe tefillin in the Torah. What's it called? What's that? Okay, it should be an os al yadecha, and it should be a Totafos beninecha. Totafos means, what does the English say for it? You know what the English word for it? Now, what is that? Os is a sign. Phylacteries. Phylacteries. I don't know what phylacteries even are, but that is what's supposed to be between your eyes. That's all we have about tefillin, the entire chumash. It's an os al yadecha, totafos beninecha. There's a lot that we don't understand about it. And yet we just heard a presentation. How many details, if you don't have it exactly square, where do you find that in the Chumash anywhere? You have to have it made out of this and this color. It's all Torah Shabbal Peh. It's all Halacha Moshe Misinai. The word os is a singular word. So we know that the os, ayadecha, is a only one box. Totafot is plural. There's a Rashi there, a quote, that the word totafot means tat fat, which is African dialect. And each one means two. So that's why we have four boxes. That's all we know about tefillin, is os is singular, Totafot is four. Short of that, everything else is Torah Shabbal Peh, is Halacha Moshe Misinai. So we're talking about a very serious set of laws that are so specific and detailed with almost no text about it. The Sefer HaChinuch in source number two actually tells you all the different Halacha Moshe Misinai that we have in tefillin. I'll just give you some examples of what he brings down. Medini HaMitzvah, again, in source number Vez, in Sefer HaChinuch, Tav Chav Aleph, Gimel. Tough Aleph, really? What Chazal say, it goes to the Rambam over here. There's 10 parts of tefillin that are Halacha Moshe Sinai, and they are. And if you deviate from any one of them, if you're Mishana, Be'echa, Mikulan, the tefillin are puzzle. Two of them are about how they're written, meaning written with ink and on parchment. And there are 8 about how they're actually, the batim are actually structured. Whether it be it's square, whether it be the shins we have on the side, there are many other examples he brings down that they should be black. They should the kesher should make a dalet in the back, etc., etc. We have all these unique halachot Moshe Sinai, and we're going to try our hardest to take these examples and try to understand what that means to us, what the message of tefillin is to us, and how to learn from tefillin. Okay, number one, it is the sign, not a sign. It is the sign of love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we wrap around. I have some Sephardim here as well, so I don't know if the Sephardim Pesach is or Minhag is, but the Ashkenazim, you wrap the straps around your hand, what do we say when we do that? You know what we say? Verestichli. What does it mean, Jacob? Verestichli alone. You know what it means? Verestichli. Do you want to know what it means? Betrothed myself to you. Forever. Meaning, this is our wedding ring to Hashem. It's a wedding ring. Verestichli alone. I'll be betrothed to you forever. Betzadik v'mishpat, v'chas rachmi v'estichli. Everything about betrothed, betrothed, betrothed. We actually have three. Most of us have three wrappings around our middle finger. Each one is a different verestichli, a different betrothal. Which, by the way, brings me to the point I just want to put as an aside, and I guess it's a pet peeve of mine. Many people, I'm not saying in this room, but in life, many people leave before davening's over. I'm not looking at anyone, I don't daven with you, so I don't know what you do or don't do. But I remember when I was younger, I used to race against a friend of mine who would take our tefillin off faster, put in our box quicker. It's a little race we had when I was in 8th grade. I'm not proud of it, just mentioning it. Imagine, you know, this is our betrothal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillin is our betrothal. Imagine you have a wedding ring from your wife, and on the way out the door, you're like, okay, honey, see you later, have a great day, and you're busy taking it out, you know. Have a great day, I miss you later on. You know, she sees it. It's like a little embarrassing. This is a relationship building between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a sign of a resikli, of betrothal, and we're taking it as quick as we can. Yeah. Excellent question Jacob's asking. We used to wear it all day, but something happened. We happened. Meaning, we are only allowed to wear it as long as we have kavan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like he's on our mind all the time, and our body is able to, you know, not be passing gas or needing the bathroom. There's actually a person that I appreciated very much, named Rav Scheinberg. I'm sure you've all heard of him. He was the tzitzis rabbi, if you ever heard of him or not. But he actually wore tefillin all day long, and he had very unusual tefillin. His tefillin, you know how we have a shin that's belated, sticking out of the box? His shin stuck inside the box. It was like, it was indented, I thought at least it was. I saw him at a bris. It was like 4 in the afternoon wearing his tefillin, as he always did. He was a tzaddik. And I was looking at his tefillin like, what? Like, it's indented. If you there's an art school book of Rav Scheinberg, if you get your hands on it, the front picture is him with tefillin on, as he always was, and you can see the shin is sticking in. You'll see it yourself. So I said, what's pshat? I mean, it was respect, of course. Rebbe, I was all the time going. What's pshat? Why in the world is your shin sticking inwards? He goes, no, it's not. So I was like, yes, it is. He's like, no, it's not. And he proceeded to take off the top part of his shel rosh, and it wasn't. He had, like we have in our shel yad, like a protection. He had that in his shel rosh. Never saw it before. But what he did was he made a hole in the side so the shins could still be visible. As we saw over here, the importance of having a shin visible. I asked him why he does that. He said the following thing. He said, I wear my tefillin all day long, as Jacob pointed out, and there's a din of being conscious of your tefillin being on. If you're on your body, you have to be aware of your tefillin being on. And therefore, he always bops them. He bops them a lot on his head. He kind of touches them all the time if he ever feels himself kind of losing focus. And to protect the tefillin shel rosh, he doesn't wound it, he put a little protective covering on it. But you see over here the significance of having the tefillin shel yad, shel rosh, in theory, and yad, all the time on your body, as Jacob pointed out. We don't, because we can't focus on it properly. But certainly, we shouldn't be rushing to take them off, certainly. There are some people who don't speak a word outside of davening with tefillin on. There's a friend of mine I know, whenever he speaks to people, which he shouldn't anyways, he does, he pulls his tefillin off and speaks to you and then puts it back on again. Okay, you probably shouldn't talk at all when they're on anyways, instead of pulling off, you just don't talk. But the point is that you shouldn't say anything with tefillin on. To talk about anything that's not kadosh oriented, it is, we see how serious of a thing it is. It's supposed to be, as Jacob pointed out, tefillin on your body all times, but you have to be focused on your tefillin at all times also, which you can't do when you're checking the recent highlights or going through your emails while you're waiting for the kadosh to begin. It's a serious thing. So what you should do is, you shouldn't do that. Tefillin are on your, are on, means your head is all the time focused on your tefillin. Okay. As I mentioned now, tefillin is the sign of, again, if you imagine, the most exciting, passionate moment of love is usually when with a fiancé. I'm not talking about wives. Wives are great. But usually when you're married, right, it's like, you know, okay, we're married for a long time already. But when you're engaged, that's so exciting. You're still dating. There's so much going on. We mentioned every single day of our tefillin putting on, they are sikhli, I'm betrothed to you. Meaning, it's passion in its highest form when we put tefillin every single day. That's what it's supposed to be like. Yeah. It's a great question. So I'm going to share with you today, hopefully, some fascinating points of what tefillin really is that you don't know yet about yet, that are going to make you realize, wow, how exciting those moments are putting it on. Hopefully, if I do a good job. If I don't, that's on me. But there is a lot out there. Try. Number one, whenever you have love, is really what you're saying, is that whenever you have love, you have to have ways of reminding yourself of having love. So we do. Love Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, what we say in Shema, and actually Shema is written in our tefillin. And tefillin represents all those three types of love. B'chol levavcha, as the Rav mentioned today, we have tefillin that's supposed to be near our heart. We have the knot of the tefillin is always facing towards the heart. Those of us who are righties, so the tefillin is mamish right next to our heart, you know, that's right over here. Those are lefties. The yad still is facing towards the lev, towards the heart. That's levavcha. Especially with all of our lev. Nashka. All of our nefesh. So we have our tefillin on top of our brains. The nefesh, the intellect of a person. So the tefillin is on top of the brain, on top of the head. Nashka. And mildech means with all your strength. So we put it on our hand. Again, the muscle, we had words about the muscle. Tefillin is on the muscle. The chol mildecha, the place of strength of a person. So we describe in Shema how to love Hashem with every part of us, and tefillin represents each of those parts. What hand we, you know, what we put it on our hand, how we angle the tefillin with the shalyad towards the body, towards the heart, and the shalrosh being on top. So we see over here once again, tefillin represents passion, love of Hashem in every single way possible. And every mitzvah really is a way to catch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but tefillin seems to be a highlight in a very serious way. Now, why is that? Okay, I'm going to get a little deep over here. I'm going to try at least, exactly, a little deeper than I usually get. So I'll try my hardest to stay still in this world. Okay. God created the world. Again, I'm sorry for going a little bit off topic, but this is really for this topic. Hashem created the world, and in that opportunity, Hashem has a relationship with Jewish people. We have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The greatest reason why Hashem created the world, the reason brought down, is that Hashem wanted to bestow good upon others. There's no others in the world without a world, so Hashem created a world to have others to bestow good upon them. Part one. Part two. The greatest good that would be in the world is Hashem. He is the greatest good. So for us to be in a world of good, it means us to be in a world of God, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So to achieve that highest level of good, we have to model ourselves after what is really good in the world, which is God. We try to mimic God. So one more time. Hashem created the world for the purpose of bestowing good. The ultimate good is God. And our job then is to try while we're in this world to mimic, to model ourselves after that good, after God. Now, one thing that Hashem does is Hashem chooses what to do in the world. So we also have what's called Bechira Chashus. We have free choice and free will. Those are different things. Free choice and free will are different things. Let me explain what that means. You can choose what to do, but you can't always do it. If you were locked in jail, but before I go, I should really give the credit. Much of what I got today, I'm going to share with you, is from Arya Kaplan, his Sefer on Tefillin. He has an anthology, a number of different books I put together. One of them is on Tefillin. So much of what I'm sharing with you right now is really from his Sefer. A few things on my own, but most things are from his Sefer. So if you would be in jail, you might choose, you might have your free choice to do a lot of things, or your free will, but you have no choice. You can't do it on your own. I choose to go daven a minyan, but there's no minyan today. Okay, so then I can't do it. So we require two things in life to really follow God. We have to have the choice and the ability to do that. Those two separate points. But in order, again, for us to model our life after God, that's what it has to be, is it's God-like, to have choice and the will, the ability to do what we actually want. And tefillin, we'll see right now, hopefully, in the next few minutes, is the ultimate way to express our free choice and our will to live our lives in a God-like fashion. How? Why did Hashem create the physical world? A lot of answers, and it's not, I don't want to get, I'm not taking from the crowd yet, but I will hear maybe from you soon. Why did Hashem create the physical world? Before, reasons the physical world created. So there are many reasons brought down, but I saw a fascinating shot brought down in Rav Arya Kaplan's Sefer. He says that when it comes to spiritual things, there is no space, and therefore, if things are opposite, you can't ever bring them together, because there's no space to bring them together. Like, for, let's say things were a state in the spiritual realm. Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara are polar opposites. They could not be brought together by anything, because there's no physicality, and they're just opposites. What space gives is the opportunity for two opposite things to be brought together. The physical world allows two things that are very different to join together. That's what space allows for. For example, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara are sharing a space within each and every one of us. Two opposite things that have no business being in the same room with each other, in a spiritual fashion, I mean, are sharing a body. How? Because there is a physical world that allows opposite things to join together. Hashem and us are as far apart as you can possibly imagine. As far apart. The mashal I give to my students, they try to understand God a little bit, and I say, you can't really understand God. You know, you have, let's say, anyone have a goldfish? Any goldfish, you know, owners among us? No one has goldfish?
It was.
Until the incident. I hear that. Respect that. As a goldfish owner, currently, I get it. Well, when they're dead, hopefully, when they're dead. Not before they die. Okay. Anyways, you have a greater chance, I should say you're goldfish, greater chance of understanding you, you have an understanding God. After all, you're both finite. God is infinite. You're finite. How could you possibly ever in a million years fathom one iota of God? It's impossible. And therefore, we don't belong in the same discussion. But we do. Because Hashem and we join space together, physicality. Now, Hashem is not physical. But the Gemara describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin. Tefillin is the way that we're able to relate to Hashem, though he's completely spiritual and he has no physical activities. The Gemara describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Look over here for a second. I'll show it to you inside. Source number 3. Brachos Davav Ben Aleph. Amar Rabbi Avin Baravada. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Meiniach Tefillin. No, Hashem wears tefillin. And it quotes Pesukim. Shneimar Nishba Hashem Bimino Vizro Uzo. And skipping a little bit, Uzro Uzo is tefillin. V'tanya Re'ezra Agadol Omer Eil Tefillin Shebarosh. So now the question is, what's in Hashem's tefillin? What does he have in them? We know we have Shema and other types of discussion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out and trying and the like. What does Hashem have in his tefillin? The Gemara asks this question. Look what it says. It says, smack in the middle of this, Hashem's tefillin, Demari Alma Mak Sibuhu, what's written in Hashem's tefillin? Amar Lei Umika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echa Baretz. Hashem's tefillin is about us. Could you imagine that? We wear tefillin about Hashem. Hashem wears tefillin about us. Who is like my nation Israel? You see over here an unbelievable idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing tefillin, celebrating us in the world. And we wear tefillin, celebrating Hashem in the world. Which brings the two, I don't say two of us, because I want to say Hashem is an us. But Hashem and us together in a way that we parallel activities. We parallel chose activities. We model ourselves. Now, Hashem created the world with a purpose. The mind, you have your mind, and you have the purpose that kind of is above and beyond what the wisdom is. You have a purpose, and the wisdom helps you make that purpose a reality. Tefillin shel Rosh represent the purpose that's above the wisdom. Because again, the mind is the wisdom, and above that is the tefillin shel Rosh, which is the purpose of the world. What's Hashem telling us right now? That you are the purpose of the world. What's on top of Hashem's head? Again, head is metaphoric head. But the top of Hashem's metaphoric head is us. Which means the wisdom of the world is Hashem, but what was created for, the purpose of the world was for the Jewish people. And the way we live our lives. That's why Hashem created the world in the first place. To have us in the world. And us trying our hardest to maximize this world and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. If it's true, now take a little step further. If it's true that Hashem wears tefillin, and us acting like Hashem brings us closer to Hashem, that any deviation whatsoever from the way we're supposed to be done would mean we would be off from our closeness to Hashem. Any deviation. So we have all these oral laws, Halakha Moshe Sinai laws, that are not written in text, because text is a limiting, if text limits us. Like if you have people say all the time, I have a niggun. My son's going to say this a lot when he comes to sing. A niggun, words in a song limits you. It means you have to be in the zone of that word in that song. But a niggun, anything can be. You know, you can have anything in mind. Torah Shebaal Peh, Halakha Moshe Sinai, does not, the text itself allows more to come off the page sometimes. So Halakha Moshe Sinai, Torah Shebaal Peh, it's when it comes to trying to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some ways that is the more ideal way to do it, is not be limited to a text, at least not to a written text. Oral law allows a little more of a way to not be limiting ourselves. And therefore, most of the halakhas we have, I should say, all halakhas we have, tefillin, are found in the oral law, halakha Moshe Sinai. But any single deviation means that we have not hit the nail on the head and copied the Kadosh Baruch Hu the way we're supposed to. The muscle of Kaplan brings down is like a radio. A radio has so many parts to it, it's hard to make. Maybe some of you guys are very handy. I'm not at all. If any wire was out of place, radio wouldn't work. So detailed. If one thing's off, it's not good. But if it works, any kid just pushes the button and it goes on and it works. You don't have to be so deep when it comes to tefillin. It's already been made for us in a very deep way. Every single wire connected properly. You just have to put it on. A little kid, push play, push power, it works. So tefillin is like this magic trick. for us copying and modeling our lives after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to give some examples of where we see this. Number one, tefillin is made from animal parts, animal products. Why? Because we have in our lives, as I mentioned before, an animal part to us. We're part animal, part physical, part animal. And that's part of who we are, and we're okay with that. That's how we're grown in the world. Our job is to take those animal parts and to modify them, direct them towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Every part, and again, what kind of animal parts? Kosher animal parts. So you take a proper way of using physical things, and you're able to channel those things towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be room, more than that even. In the world, I mentioned before, free choice and free will, there has to be room for us to have bad things in our life and reject them. If the world was only full of good things all the time, then you could never choose to be close, like Hashem, because everyone would be. So we have to have things around us that are not necessarily so kadosh. And we do have that in tefillin as well. If you ever look at your tefillin shel rosh, you'll notice a hair, a thread. You notice a thread sticking out of your tefillin shel rosh from the third and the fourth, what are they called? Boxes, batim. Look next time you'll see yourself. It's like sticking up a little hair. Why? That hair represents tumah. How? Because hair is dead. Hair is dead. Meaning, if you forget the root part of your hair, which hurts because when you pull it, it's attached to life still, which is your scalp. But hair itself, if someone cuts the hair off your head, it doesn't hurt at all. Because the hair that's not attached to your scalp is already dead. The part that's inside the scalp itself has the nerves. So you have things that are dead, meaning that are not kadosh, that are in the tefillin, a little bit. We have a little sliver of tumah. The hair of an animal in the tefillin, sticking out a little bit, so you're conscious of the fact that this is part of what we're supposed to be using close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But like we said earlier on, if you wear tefillin, then you take that animal part of ourselves, the tumah part of ourselves, and we're able to channel it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu by having in our tefillin as well. That's why we have that part of the tefillin, there's a little hair sticking out of it, to be able to work on that. Because the goal is to take all the parts of physicality, the parts that are tumah and less tumah, and to work towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that. I'll tell you an example of this. Look at the last word of the page, one of my favorite sources in life. Strong word, I know, but it is. This is Aruch HaShulchan, and it describes a famous idea of serving Hashem with all your heart. B'chol levavcha. You know what we say b'chol levavcha means? The Rashi there says b'chol levavcha means with both your laves, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Look over here in the middle. This is B'shnei Yitzrecha, towards the middle of this line over here. It's the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Aleph, in Os Vav. V'yetzer tov v'yetzer hara. Shalomar. Shalom tomar cha yetzer hara kevan shemesis oscha lavur al ritzono yizbarach im kein eich barom. How can Hashem create yetzer hara for us? It's bad. Hashem creates bad. Hashem creates nothing that's bad. Yetzer hara, it's good. It's actually, it's your biggest fan. It's your biggest fan. We think it's this evil thing. No, it's part of our tefillin. It's our biggest fan. It's the hair, the dead part. It's actually cheering you on. What does that mean? The emesu, the gam punis yitzer hara, shlo tavelo. Yitzer hara wants you not to listen to it. Lo tishmai love. Al shakach gazar love of oriz baruch. Yasischa love vor abatoni is baruch. Like imagine you have a teacher in school. He gives you a trick question. He wants you to get it right. He doesn't want you to make a mistake. He wants you to get it right. He's giving you a trick question to sharpen you, to make you stronger. So we want you to realize when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing in the world that doesn't attach to Hashem. Even the Yetzer Hara, the lowest part, we think the lowest part of our lives, it's actually rooting you. It's cheering you on. We're supposed to serve Hashem with Chol Levavcha, with all of your Yetzer, Tov and Ra. Because of a hope, and it's hoping as well that you see past its tricks. You're able to choose properly. That's what it wants from you. So we have in our tefillin things that are like this hair of the animal. An animal, it's a kosher animal, but it's an animal and its hair. Tumah, even though the animal's kosher, the animal's tower, but the hair itself is like a dead thing. But it's part of how we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing in the world that we should be using to channel towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Why is it square? Why is it square? Square represents something that is man-made. Meaning, things that aren't naturally square. You have to chisel it to make it square. Because the box, if we want really to serve Hashem the right way, then it's up to us to do so. We have to work on that. It's not something that happens automatically. We have to choose to make that our life. And therefore, it's square, exactly square as the Rav said earlier on today, to make sure that we are working on making it that way and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way as well. Why is it black? Our title here is Black Boxes Matter. Why is it black? Because black is to slow down the white blind. Again, the parchments are white. White is like the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Black kind of like allows us to function around that. Imagine you go, when you go from to the eye doctor, they put those drops in your eyes. And you walk outside, it's like blind. They put those glasses on to help you out. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came back from writing, from being part of the getting the Torah from Har Sinai, so he had this Karan Or Panav, he had this shine. So he had to like put a mask on of some sort so that no one should be able to be blinded by it. The tefillin are blinding in their kedusha, the parchments at least. So there's a black box on it to cover and allow us to be able to be in the same place as that tefillin. The ritzuos, the straps that come after the tefillin. Unbelievable idea here, if Kevin brings down. They come on the right side and left side, as we mentioned earlier on. The right side is more of a chesed. Left side is more of a din, of a punishment. Both of them, they go both back up to the knot. They combine together. Hashem's judgment in the back of the tefillin is both of them. There's actually Gemara. Source number 4 on Daf Zayin and Aleph from Sefer Brachos also. Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Yossi is saying, Moshe asked three things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of them was, I'll skip to the next part of this page. We wanted to know that the top line, Lodi Drachos Baruch, how does it work in the world? Hodi, as it says, show me your ways. And according to, there's a machlokes whether Hashem ever answered that question or not. But the second shot, he doesn't answer it at all. Hashem doesn't answer it. He says, you don't understand how I work. I look at the very last line of this Gemara. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Bizna. Sorry, one line over that. It says, Vasirosi es kapi varisas acharai. I'm going to remove my hand, you can see my back, says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Lamit Shehera Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Keshet Tefillin. That Moshe was shown by Hashem, how do I work in the world? Showed him the back of the tefillin. What does that even mean? So the back of the tefillin, you have two rituals cascading down the body. One of them is on the right side, representing chesed and ava. One on the left side, representing din. And Hashem shows him the strap, the knot that they both come out of. Hashem works in a way, and by the way, it's black. Again, what does black represent? You don't understand it. It's hard to tell. It's hard to notice. It's hard to understand what it is. It's not white enlightening. It's black, it's dark. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you will not understand me. You won't understand me fully. But I work both chesed and din into everything that I do, says Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the attitude that comes with tefillin. As a matter of fact, it flows downwards, the straps as well, because it goes from the top, the purpose of the world, which is really us, we said, top of wisdom, the purpose of the world, and it goes down to every last little thing in our lives and in the world. The straps cascade downwards because every single last part of these of a kashrut in the world is by a kashrut baruch. And with one last point, and that is that's filin shel rosh. Filin shel yad is the action. The wisdom, the purpose is the shel rosh, and the yad is the action. And our job is to make sure that we have the action that makes the purpose of the world, which is us, work well. One last question I'll leave you with is, how about women? It's very nice for men. We mentioned this now, that men, we model to kashrut baruch Hu. We are, we have all these parts that represent so many areas of working in our lives and the purpose of people in the world, and we strap them on in our bodies, represents the din of Hashem in the world, so many areas. Well, women doesn't wear tefillin, they don't wear tefillin. So, Rav Kaplan points out and says, they don't need to wear tefillin. Why? Because they don't need batim. They themselves are a bias. How do they model like a Kadosh Baruch Hu? They create life in their body. We need ways to model like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We need it. Because we are people, we have Yetzer Haras, we're not naturally like Hashem. We have to bind ourselves like Hashem. We betroth ourselves to Hashem every single day. But a woman, she's born to act like God. She, inside of her, there is a creation of a human being. We call, there's a bias. We have batim in our tefillin to allow us to be a bias for Hashem. But an Isha, we call, she's a Karis bias. She is the bias. When the home is being raised, and our salvation comes all the time, he's also about his mother. His mother created the atmosphere in the home. The woman, the bias of the home, is really the woman's domain. Meaning, not in a sexist way, negative, but the opposite. She creates the spirit of the house. She raises in her belly children. She is as God-like as any creation in the world. We are less like that. We must do things to make ourselves more God-like, and that's where tefillin come in. So to answer your question, tefillin bring us into a place that it lets us realize so many different areas. The tefillin, black, we don't understand Hashem so much. The ritzuos, Hashem takes chesed and din together, and everything in our lives is strapped down on top of our head, Hashem's head, so to speak. We have the purpose of the world, which is in art's film, it's him, and his film, it's us. And it goes down to our action, our arm. And through those ideas, I know that, as we said before, and Nathan said before, and how do we get excited all the time if you realize that tefillin is the way we connect to Hashem the most. That without putting tefillin on, we're a kafsh without tefillin, we're someone who's lacking in the ability to connect to Hashem and use everything in the world to his nature. That will mean that we're not serving our purpose of Hashem creating us in the world, which will be zocha, to understand more, be more connected to tefillin, and be able to serve Hashem in a way that is the deepest connection. Have a great day. Yeah, Nathan.